We'll go now to Earl in Hickman, California. Good morning, Earl.
Howdy. Good morning, Patrick. Now, first of all, I got to say, I'm not a Catholic. I'm a Protestant. Okay. But I got in an argument with my brother-in-law about abortion. Now, he's a liberal, and he's very smart. He's a college-educated boy. And, you know, I was trying to make the point that God doesn't want the woman to have the abortion because not only does he love the woman, doesn't want her to defile herself that way, but he loves that baby, and it's a real baby. But he told me that went on and on. I'm a misogynistic woman hater.
Yeah.
Racism also, because people who like me who try to stop abortion from happening, that we're oppressing the inner city people and people of color to try to keep them from having services and things like that. And he had really fancy arguments. He's smart. He's smarter than I am, but he's not smarter than you. I know that because, you know, like I said, I'm an evangelical Baptist, and we do a lot of spiritual warfare and stuff. And you know, he just made me look like a fool. And, of course, all the kids and everybody, just everything I said was just a joke. And, you know, because I'm trying to bring people back to the Lord because I see my country falling apart and I see the world the way it is. And I just know we need Jesus, all of us together. It's a Mexican fellow that turned me on to your station. He's a Catholic. And, you know, we sort of butted heads at first about things. But then it's just, we went through some stuff with this whole 2020. And he had some families that were sick. And I was there to help him. And it didn't matter when we were praying together. We were just brothers in Christ. I'm sorry, Patrick.
It's okay.
I just got so humiliated. I felt like a fool. You know, and to have people just turn on you because she's trying to save babies.
Yeah.
This world is just so wicked.
Well, this is true.
Sorry, Patrick.
No, it's okay. You see, your friend, you say, is Catholic, and he...
Yes.
Okay. Let me share something with you. Okay, because I know that you love the Bible. You love Jesus, and you love the Bible. So Matthew chapter 5... Yeah, I know you do. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 is a verse that I think can give you some encouragement. So Jesus says, "Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so men persecuted the prophets who were before you." So that's describing you. Matthew 5, verses 11 and 12. So I offer you that just by way of some encouragement. Jesus knows that this kind of thing is going to happen. And he's telling you, hang in there. It's going to be okay. And you have a reward in heaven waiting for you. So I hope that that gives you a little extra encouragement. So what are some things that you could say to the crazy arguments that your friend was raising? I advocate a way of doing this that involves asking questions. Now, you could respond by defending yourself, but then you might get put on the defensive. It's easy to find yourself on the defensive. So if you just ask questions, it makes it harder for the person to try to put you on the defensive. It also will begin to show some of the flaws in that person's argument. So you might begin something like this. You might say something like, do you believe that it's okay to use violence to get what you want? And I'm guessing, Earl, your brother-in-law, even though he's a nut, he's probably going to say no. I don't believe in using violence to get what you want. Okay. Neither do I, by the way. Do you believe that it's okay to torture somebody? And not just, you know, let's say a convicted criminal, that would be bad enough. But what about just an innocent person? Do you think that that using torture on an innocent person is okay? Even though he's a nut, he's probably going to say no.
No, that's not right.
Yeah, he's going to say no, right? Okay. Well, so now you've got him committed to two principles that are very much in play when it comes to abortion. Number one is using violence to get what you want, whether it's to keep your bikini figure or your job or to get a promotion or so that your parents don't find out that you've been fooling around or whatever. It could be any scenario. Or no reason at all. I just don't want this child. And the violence that is perpetrated against this innocent unborn person is nothing short of an atrocity. And maybe you've heard by listening to the program some of the statements that have been made by former abortion doctors who describe, one in particular, Dr. Anthony Levitino, who describes the process of a second trimester abortion, surgical abortion, which involves literally ripping the unborn child limb from limb. And I can't imagine anything more violent than that. So my advice, Earl, would be in the next time you get in this conversation, just start asking questions like that. And then when he says, no, I don't think it's okay to use violence to get what you want, and you might say, how do you feel about the death penalty? Are you okay with the death penalty? He's probably going to say, no, I'm not okay with the death penalty. Okay. And you ask several of these questions, and then you say, so explain this to me. How is it then that you're against the death penalty, but you're okay with giving the death penalty to this unborn child? You say you're against torture and against using violence to get what you want, but you're okay with doing exactly that when it comes to the unborn child. And there may be some traction you can get with him there just to show him his inconsistency. But he may say something like, well, that's not an unborn child. That's just a blob of tissue. That's just a fetus. That's just whatever. He may try to dehumanize the unborn child. You can say, no, that's actually an unborn, innocent human being, and that's what human beings look like at that stage of development. That's what they look like. When you were a one-cell entity immediately after your conception, you were a human being, and that's what human beings look like at that stage of development. And as things progress, you look different. He certainly looks different now than he did when he was a newborn baby. So he's no more or less human now than he was when he was newborn. We change. We look different. So the argument that that's just a blob of tissue or it's just a clump of cells is it's stupid. It's non-scientific. And so you can talk about that and ask him questions. You can, furthermore, you can say, how do you respond to the black leaders? Alveda King, for example, the niece of the late Dr. Martin Luther King. Or Walter Hoy II. He's the founder and president of Issues for Life. It's based in California. The gentleman who runs blackgenocide.org. He's a pastor, Clennard Howard Childress Jr. And others who are on the forefront of educating people, ignorant people like your brother-in-law, about how abortion, more than any other racial group, abortion affects African Americans because it depopulates the African American community, because the disproportionately high number of abortions that take place in this country are black. And we see here, even in the seeds of big abortion, the seeds that were planted long ago in the 1920s, for example, by people like Margaret Sanger, who was the founder of Planned Parenthood, and she was very much on record publicly talking about how non-white groups, so blacks, for example, Asians, Hispanics, and others, she referred to them more than once as human weeds. And she was very upfront about how the white people needed to exterminate these groups or at least reduce their numbers as dramatically as possible because those were the human weeds and we don't want them around. Now, that was her sickening, disgusting outlook on life, but that's what gave birth to, if you'll pardon the pun, Planned Parenthood. It was that racist, eugenics, anti-African-American, anti-person of color approach to things. That's where big abortion comes from. And they've lived up to their pedigree because those are the people predominantly who are being aborted. So you can point that out. You could say if you really cared about that community, wouldn't you want to see more people born into it? Wouldn't you want to see more people who have an opportunity to live? And how do you explain the views of people like those that I just mentioned, Pastor Childress and Walter Hoy and Alveda King and Obi Nuju Okocha and others who are black and standing up for these issues and calling it what it really is, a black genocide? These are all things that I suggest that you maybe raise in your conversation with him. And if you want, you can play this segment from the show. You can go to relevantradio.com/Patrick. You can grab hour one and play this for him. And he'll hear me saying his ideas are cockamamie, and they are. And maybe he'll call, and maybe he and I can have a discussion. But just stand your ground, be calm, ask questions, maybe have a few more details at your fingertips that you can bring up in a conversation. And that's going to be, I think, the path to victory. Even if nothing else, it's going to show him that his arguments, they don't work. and they're actually self-contradictory, as I'm pointing out. So I'll leave it at that, Earl, but I do hope that that's helpful to you. Thank you so much for listening to the program. And I look forward to hearing from you after you have your next conversation with him. Thank you.
For more of The Patrick Madrid Show, visit relevantradio.com/Patrick.